Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Today's program will be focusing on the subject of seasonal affective disorder. To discuss this subject, our guest today is Ashley Kalina, licensed therapist and owner of Kalina Counseling Services, LLC, here in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Ashley is the owner of Kalina Counseling Services and also serves as a member of the Lake County Local Mental Health Task Force. She is a licensed professional clinical counselor and a licensed marriage and family therapist. She received her Bachelor of Science degree in Family Social Science at the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, and her Master of Arts degree in Counselor Education with a specialization in clinical mental health counseling at the University of South Florida. She also holds a graduate certificate in marriage and family therapy from the University of South Florida and a sexual health certificate from the University of Michigan with specializations in sex therapy and sexuality education. Ashley has worked in the mental health field for nearly 10 years, has been providing psychotherapy for the past 5 years in various different settings, including outpatient, inpatient, and in-home service delivery. After living and working in Florida for 7 years, she decided to return home to Minnesota and chose to make the North Shore her home. Ashley is looking forward to providing necessary mental health services to our underserved area in the years to come and currently splits her time seeing clients at her practice in Two Harbors and at the Duluth Counseling Center. You're on the air. Good day, Ashley. How are you?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. And thank you for being with us. The topic today, it seems to be appropriate. There was an article just recently in the North Shore Journal. It was on the back page of the January 31st edition. And the title was, capital S-A-D, It's Not Just the Winter Blues. Sad, seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression related to the seasons. Most commonly, this affects people starting in the fall through the winter, but it can also happen spring and summer. Sad is more serious than just occasional blue days, which anyone may experience. Untreated, sad can lead to social withdrawal, substance abuse, difficulty with school or work, suicidal thoughts, and behavior. Ashley, to begin with, I'm a layperson. What is seasonal affective disorder, and why is it relevant to those of us on the North Shore?
It is very relevant to those of us on the North Shore, as I'm about to explain to you, all of you out there. Seasonal affective disorder, which I'm going to refer to as SAD a lot of the times throughout here because that's how we acronym it, seasonally reoccurrent type of major depression that comes and goes with the seasons, like Chris said. SAD affects people who have normal mental health throughout most of the year and exhibit depressive symptoms at the same time each year. It usually starts in the late fall and early winter and goes away during the spring and summer, but some people do have episodes of depression that start in the spring and summer, but that's actually less common. Symptoms are most common in December, January, and February around the winter solstice time, so when the days are shortest. And at least in our field, so we use the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which helps us to diagnose mental health conditions. Now, the status of SAD was actually changed in May of 2013 when DSM-5 released it and no longer classified SAD as just a mood disorder. It's now a type of recurrent major depressive disorder, which is specified as seasonal pattern that occurs at a specific time of the year, and symptoms typically disappear after a change in season. Initially, there were a lot of experts that were skeptical of the prevalence of SAD, but now it's a pretty recognized common disorder.
Well, Ashley, with all of this clinical background, what exactly is the history of SAD, the seasonal affective disorder?
So it was first reported and named in the early 1980s by medical doctor Norman E. Rosenthal and his associates at the National Institute of Mental Health. So Rosenthal was motivated by his own desire to discover the cause of his own experience of depression during the dark days of northern U.S. winter, but he theorized that the reduction in available natural light during winter was the cause. So he and his colleagues then documented the phenomenon of SAD in a placebo-controlled study utilizing light therapy. And a paper based on this research was published in 1984. And although his ideas were initially greeted with skepticism, SAD has become well recognized, and he actually has a book that was put out in 1993 called Winter Blues that's kind of become the standard introduction to the subject. Now, research on SAD in the United States began in 1979 when Herb Kern, a research engineer, had also noticed that he felt depressed during the winter months. So Kern suspected that scarcer light in winter was the cause and discussed his idea with scientists at the National Institute of Mental Health who were working on bodily rhythms at that time. They were intrigued and responded by devising a light box to treat Kern's depression. And Kern felt much better within a few days of treatment, as did other patients that were treated in the same way. So just in general, seasonal affective symptoms, Chris had kind of mentioned some earlier that were in the article in the North Shore Journal. It's typically when you're feeling depressed most of the day, nearly every day, losing interest in activities you once enjoyed, having low energy, having problems with sleeping, experiencing changes in your appetite or weight, feeling sluggish or agitated, having difficulty concentrating, feeling hopeless, worthless, or guilty, and could actually include having frequent thoughts of death or suicide. There's also season-specific symptoms. So there's symptoms that you might have in fall and winter if you have seasonal affective disorder, and ones that you might have in spring and summer. So they're not always going to look the same. So symptoms for fall and winter seasonal affective disorder are typically oversleeping, appetite changes, especially a craving for foods high in carbohydrates, weight gain, tiredness or low energy, and symptoms that are more specific to spring and summer would be trouble sleeping, so insomnia, poor appetite, weight loss, agitation or anxiety. And some people also kind of wonder, you know, why would you have symptoms of SAD in spring and summer? And for most people, it's because they're anticipating winter coming. So that causes them to start to get anxiety, get symptoms of depression that are making them almost onset their own seasonal affective disorder, which is why it can sometimes start sooner.
Well, Ashley, thank you very much for a really good comprehensive listing on the symptoms. And when we talk about symptoms, the next question I guess I would have is, now that we've talked about the symptoms, when you go back before that, what are the actual causes of seasonal affective disorder?
So interestingly enough, the specific cause of seasonal affective disorder remains unknown. We do know that there are some factors that may come into play, which is kind of where we go from here. One of those is serotonin levels. So a drop in serotonin, which is a brain chemical and also known as a neurotransmitter that affects mood, might play a role in seasonal affective disorder. The reduced sunlight can cause a drop in serotonin that may trigger depression, and people with seasonal affective disorder often have difficulty regulating the neurotransmitter serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter that's believed to be responsible for balancing mood. So that makes sense. Melatonin levels are also something that we were looking into. The change in season can disrupt the balance of the body's level of melatonin, which then plays a role in sleep patterns and mood. So people with SAD may also have difficulty with overproduction of melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone produced by the pineal glands in the brain that responds to darkness by causing sleepiness. So as winter days become darker, melatonin production increases, and in response, those with SAD feel sleepy and lethargic. Vitamin D levels is another thing that we look at. So with less outdoor exposure to sunlight on the skin in winter, people with SAD may produce less vitamin D, and as vitamin D is believed to play a role in serotonin activity, vitamin D deficiency and insufficiency have been associated with clinically significant depressive symptoms. And finally, our biological clock, or our circadian rhythm, is a reduced level of sunlight in fall. With the reduced level of sunlight in fall and winter, it causes winter onset of SAD. So this decrease in sunlight may disrupt your body's internal clock and lead to feelings of depression. And the combination of decreased serotonin and increased melatonin impacts circadian rhythms. So circadian rhythm is also known as like the body's internal 24-hour clock, and it's synchronized to respond to the rhythmic light to dark changes that naturally occur daily and throughout each of the seasons. So for people with SAD, the circadian signal that indicates a seasonal change in day length has been found to be timed differently, thus making it more difficult for their bodies to adjust. And obviously, this is very common for those of us that are living in northern Minnesota in the wintertime with very short days and not a lot of sunlight. So causal links between serotonin, melatonin, circadian rhythms, vitamin D, and SAD have not yet been confirmed. That's why we don't necessarily know what the exact cause is, but the associations among these key factors are present and are continuing to be researched.
Well, Ashley, with a mention, a couple times you mentioned the term diagnosing. Going back, how then is SAD diagnosed and what are the treatments?
So it's normal to have some days when you're feeling down. We all have days like that. But if you feel down for days at a time and you can't get motivated to do activities you normally enjoy, I would recommend seeing your doctor or mental health professional. This is especially important if your sleep patterns and appetite have changed, you turn to alcohol for comfort or relaxation, or you feel hopeless and think about suicide. Even with a thorough evaluation, it can sometimes be difficult for your doctor or mental health professional to diagnose seasonal affective disorder because other types of depression or other mental health conditions can cause similar symptoms, which I'll discuss later. So to help diagnose SAD, your doctor or mental health professional may do a thorough evaluation, which generally includes a physical exam. So your doctor would do a physical exam on you and ask in-depth questions about your health. And in some cases, depression can be linked to underlying physical health problems. So that's why it's important to see your doctor to kind of rule out any physical health problems. They might also do some lab tests. So running blood tests called a complete blood count or CBC, or test your thyroid to make sure that it's functioning properly. There's also a psychological evaluation that could be done to check for signs of depression. Your doctor or mental health professional will ask about your symptoms, your thoughts, feelings, and behavior patterns, and may have you fill out a questionnaire to help answer these questions. And then finally, the DSM-5, like I said earlier, is what those of us that are mental health professionals use to diagnose and determine what diagnosis people fit into. So that would also be used in order to ensure that that person meets criteria for a seasonal depressive episode. So to meet, how do we meet diagnostic criteria for major depressive disorder with seasonal pattern? In order to do this, depression should be present only at a specific time of year, so most likely in the fall or winter, and be in full remission during a characteristic time of year, most likely in spring. So an individual should demonstrate at least two episodes of depressive disturbance in the previous 2 years, and seasonal episodes should substantially outnumber non-seasonal episodes. So patients with seasonal affective disorder are more likely to report abnormal symptoms such as hypersomnia, which is excessive sleepiness, feeling sleepy almost all day, increased appetite, and a craving for carbohydrates. Cases where there is an obvious effect of seasonally related psychosocial stressors, such as like seasonal unemployment, do not meet criteria for SAD, and this would likely be classified as an adjustment disorder, which I'll discuss later when covering differential diagnoses. Moving on to treatments. So there are many different treatments out there. We're not, you know, sure exactly what works best, but the main go-to is usually light therapy. And it's also dependent upon each person because everybody responds differently to different treatments. So in light therapy, which is also called phototherapy, you sit within a few feet from a special light box so that you're exposed to bright light within the first hour of waking up each day. And light therapy mimics natural outdoor light and appears to cause a change in brain chemicals, which are linked to mood. Light therapy is actually the first line of treatment for fall onset SAD. And it generally starts working in a few days to a few weeks and causes very few side effects. Research on light therapy is limited, but it appears to be effective for most people in relieving symptoms. Now, before you purchase the light box, I would encourage anyone to go and talk to your doctor or mental health professional about the best one for you and familiarize yourself with the variety of features and options so that you buy a high-quality product that's safe and effective. You can also ask your doctor about how and when to use the light box. And interestingly enough, a lot of these can just be found on Amazon, but I think it's important to make sure that you know which one to buy so that you're not, you know, buying something that isn't a good quality. Another form of treatment is medications. So some people with SAD benefit from antidepressant treatment, especially if symptoms are severe. An extended release version of the antidepressant, Rupopion, may help prevent depressive episodes in people with a history of SAD. Other antidepressants also may commonly be used to treat SAD, so that's something to talk to your medical professional about if you're looking at getting medications to relieve symptoms. Your doctor may recommend starting treatment with an antidepressant before your symptoms typically begin each year, since we know that it's seasonal. He or she may also recommend that you continue to take the antidepressant beyond the time that your symptoms normally go away. And also keep in mind that it may take several weeks to notice full benefits from an antidepressant, and in addition, you may have to try different medications before you find one that works well for you and has the fewest side effects. So another treatment would be psychotherapy, also called talk therapy, which is what I do. It's another option to treat SAD, and a type of psychotherapy known as cognitive behavioral therapy is usually the go-to, and this can help you identify and change negative thoughts and behaviors that may be making you feel worse. You can learn healthy ways to cope with SAD, especially with reducing avoidance behavior and scheduling activities, because we know that social isolation does not help anything when you're feeling depressed, and it'll also help you learn how to manage stress. So before your first appointment with a mental health professional, I highly encourage everybody just to aid in the treatment and recovery process to make a list of your symptoms. So if you're feeling down, having a lack of energy, excess sleeping, and appetite changes, these are incredibly important for us to know. Your depression patterns, such as when your depression starts and what seems to make it feel better or worse. Any other mental or physical health problems that you might have, which can affect mood, we need to know about those as well. Any major stressors or life changes that you've had recently that could be contributing to symptoms. And also all medications, vitamins, herbs, or other supplements that you're taking, including the dosages. So there's also mind-body techniques that you can try to help you cope with SAD. So these would be relaxation techniques such as yoga or Tai Chi, meditation, guided imagery, music or art therapy, things that you can do at home to maybe make your environment better would be opening blinds, trimming tree branches that block sunlight, adding skylights to your home if that's a possibility, sitting closer to bright windows while at home or in the office, getting outside. Go outside and take a long walk. Eat your lunch at a nearby park, or simply sit on a bench and soak up the sun. Even on cold or cloudy days, I know nobody likes to be outside or go outside when it's freezing, but the outdoor light can really help, especially if you spend some time outside within 2 hours of getting up in the morning. And exercising regularly has also been really shown to help, because we know that this relieves stress and anxiety, both of which can increase SAD symptoms. So being more fit can also make you feel better about yourself too, which can also lift your mood. Now, there is some alternative medicine, like herbal remedies, supplements, the mind-body techniques I talked about, that are sometimes used to try to relieve depressive symptoms. So it's not clear how effective these treatments are for seasonal affective disorder. And actually, herbal remedies and dietary supplements are not monitored by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the same way that medications are. So you can't always be certain of what you're getting and whether it's safe. And also because some herbal and dietary supplements can interfere with prescription medications or cause dangerous interactions, it is so important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist before taking any supplements. And make sure that you understand the risks as well as possible benefits if you pursue alternative or complementary therapy. When it comes to depression, alternative treatments aren't necessarily a substitute for medical care, but just a good addition and supplemental thing you can use.
Ashley, thank you very much. That was very comprehensive, in depth. It leads me to a question: with all of the symptoms, treatment, the definite need to involve medical and mental health professionals. For people up here on the North Shore, how do people cope with SAD?
So there are some steps that you can take to help you manage symptoms of seasonal affective disorder. If you do seek treatment, definitely following your treatment plan and attending therapy appointments when scheduled. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you're getting enough sleep to help you feel rested, but be careful not to get too much rest, as SAD symptoms often lead people to feel like hibernating. Make sure you're participating in an exercise program or engage in another form of regular physical activity. You can make healthy choices for meals and snacks, and don't turn to alcohol or recreational drugs for relief. Practice stress management. These are things we can teach you in a therapy-type setting. So learn techniques to manage your stress better. Unmanaged stress we know can lead to depression, overeating, or other unhealthy thoughts and behaviors. Make sure you're socializing. So when you're feeling down, it can be hard to be social. We know this, but the more we make an effort to connect with people you enjoy being around, the better you feel. These people can offer support. They can offer a shoulder to cry on or share in laughter with you and just give you a little boost in your mood. And if possible, take a trip. Get out of our dreary, horrible winters at times and take a trip to a sunny and warm location. And if you have, you know, sad in the summer, try and go to a cooler location to try and, you know, make your symptoms decrease a little bit. So there are some complications if you leave symptoms untreated. I think it's very important to take any of these signs and symptoms very seriously. As with other types of depression, SAD can get worse and lead to problems if it's not treated. So these signs and symptoms would be social withdrawal, school or work problems, substance abuse, other mental health disorders such as anxiety or eating disorders, suicidal thoughts or behavior. You know, treatment can help prevent complications, especially if SAD is diagnosed and treated before symptoms get bad.
Well, Ashley, as a mental health professional, what are some of the mental health resources regarding seasonal affective disorder available to our listeners here in the North Shore community?
So our local mental health resources, if you are interested in medication management in Two Harbors, I would highly recommend the Lakeview Medical Clinic, specifically Amy Sumi, who has a mental health specialty, and also the Human Development Center, also known as HDC. They have psychiatry available as well there where you could get your medication management. The psychotherapy options in Two Harbors, me at Kalina Counseling Services, Ascend Services, HDC, and then Christine Oliver Kneebone, who is a licensed independent clinical social worker who also works out of the Agape Professional Suites building with me. She's awesome. I highly recommend her as well. And then there is a crisis text line. So if you are having suicidal thoughts or you are in crisis, you can text 741-741, and you have to text MN in order to be connected to the crisis text line. So the number you would dial would, or text would be 741-741, and then in the text box you would put MN and hit send, and you'll be connected to the crisis text line. There's also the National Suicide Hotline, which you can call at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255.
Well, Ashley, I want to thank you very much. You've given so much in-depth, relevant information to our listeners today. And if you could, would you be able to give a summary of the main points of your presentation today that you would like to highlight for the listeners?
I think the main takeaway that I want everybody to walk away with is that if you identify with any of these items discussed today, please, please, please make an appointment with a mental health professional or your doctor for further evaluation, especially if your symptoms include a few of the following. So feeling depressed most of the day, nearly every day, losing interest in activities you once enjoyed, having low energy, having problems with sleeping, experiencing changes in your appetite or weight, feeling sluggish or agitated, having difficulty concentrating, feeling hopeless, worthless, or guilty, having frequent thoughts of death or suicide. There is so much help out there, and providers like myself are out there waiting to help in any way that we can. The longer you wait, the more of a chance there is for symptoms to worsen and the more time and hard work it takes to get back to feeling healthy again. So I want to encourage everyone who is listening to be proactive about their mental health as opposed to being reactive.
Ashley Kalina, Kalina Counseling Services here in Two Harbors. I want to thank you very much for being with us today, for the great information, and we hope that the listeners will take to heart everything that you have said and provided counseling on, and will take any necessary steps if they should affect them or others. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
You have a good day.
You too.
This segment of the program is dedicated to providing local and regional events and information of mental health interest. The North Shore Mental Health Group mission statement is to build a community where it is safe to talk about mental well-being and to live well with and encourage treatment of mental illness, brain disorders, and brain injuries. Peer-based support, GLAD group for those living with anxiety and depression, meets the second and fourth Monday of the month from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. North Shore Mental Health Group planning meetings occur the third Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Both of these meet at the United Protestant Church on Outer Drive in Silver Bay. For more information, email nsmentalhealth@gmail.com. The Waterfront Center is a drop-in center for community members here in Two Harbors. Resources include computer, printer, phone, TV, DVD player, Wii gaming system, puzzles, games, and crafts, which are all available for use. Monthly meetings are held to plan activities for the following month. There are two monthly outings which require sign-up at the center. Additionally, there is bingo every Friday with prizes. The center also has an every other month luncheon. Stop in and pick up a monthly calendar with all the events listed. The Waterfront Center is located at 109 Waterfront Drive, Two Harbors. The hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Snacks and coffee are offered daily. Northland Healthy Minds is a collaborative of businesses, organizations, and people in northeastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin working together to eliminate the stigma surrounding mental illness. Their website for useful resources and a calendar of events can be found at www.northlandhealthyminds.org. If you are in a crisis, call 844-772-4744 or text MN to 741-741. Again, that's text MN to 741-741. Find all Northeastern Minnesota crisis lines at www.letstalkmn.com. www.letstalkmn.com. If you or someone else is in imminent danger, call 911. This concludes our program today on seasonal affective disorder. Our guest has been Ashley Kalina, therapist here in Two Harbors and owner of Kalina Counseling. We welcome your feedback on the program today and also your suggestions for future topics of discussion. You can email your responses to the radio station KTWH 99.5 FMLP, your Two Harbors local community station. This program serves to provide resources needed for practicing good mental health. The program is broadcast the third Monday of each month at 11 a.m. and repeated the following Sunday at 12 p.m. The program is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Our topic next month will be children's mental health. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.